to truly believe in the magic.
Okay, how's it going, Magic fans? And welcome to Let's Talk Magic, an Orlando Magic UK podcast. We are recording on Friday, May the 10th. I am joined by the voice of the valleys, the Grill King himself, Geraint Jones. How are we?
Very good, mate. Very good. Yeah, just come back from a barbecue. So, you know, full, really, really stuffed.
Meat or beer? Meat or beer?
Bit of both, mate. Bit of both. I'm on the old H2O now, though. So I'm going to be a good boy for the rest of the night.
What was on the barbecue?
Oh, what wasn't on the barbecue, mate?
What was the highlight?
Oh, I'm trying to think. The kebabs were very good. The kebabs were very, very good. There was ribs, kebabs, obviously burgers, hot dogs, chicken wings. Yeah, it was tip top. Can't complain, mate. Can't complain. First win of the year, actually. It's lovely, beautiful day in South Wales today. How is it up north with you?
It's quite warm, but I haven't been to a barbecue, but I never had you down as a vegan, mate. all good. It's all good. But I think we've got quite a bit to talk about tonight because it's been a while since we've recorded. I think we need to talk about how we feel. It's going to be a bit of a therapy session live on air. It's probably a good job it didn't happen directly after Game 7. What we learned about the Magic and what's next. So if you're tuning in, that's what's on tap. We obviously don't have Hank tonight, so I don't think we're going to get about 2,000 viewers, but we'll take what we can get. And we'll do a quick plug. So if you're looking for tickets, if you're looking for hotels, if you're looking to enjoy the nice weather out in Orlando, which is even nicer than here, best theme parks and attractions, or you just want to gear up for your UK half term with some of the UK theme parks like Alton Towers perhaps, then check out Attraction Tickets, the UK's number one attraction ticket provider, and see what they can do for you. They sell Magic tickets, so if you're thinking about a trip over next season to see a playoff team, maybe be looking at Attraction Tickets. Use our link in the description, see what they've got on offer. The deals are changing all the times, but they're very competitive. And if you want to go to our website, letstalkmagic.com, you can see all of our affiliate links and discount codes, which includes the NBA store and Fanatics. And I will confirm that Fanatics' code works now because they are running Sunderland's club shop. So 10% off for all you Sunderland fans out there. Works for the Sunderland club shop. All right. So after a tough loss in Game 7, when it wasn't pretty viewing, G, I'm going to start with you. How are you feeling? Season's over.
So we've had a bit of a roller coaster with this playoff series, haven't we? Obviously, first two games weren't quite at the races. And then it was doom and gloom on Magic Twitter, wasn't it? Everyone was like, oh, well, some people were anyway. Oh, we're going to get swept, or, you know, we're not ready. We've had a good season. A playoff series doesn't really begin until somebody loses a home game. We didn't see that, unfortunately. And, you know, Cleveland obviously took it in seven. But we held serve at home, which was really good to see. You know, the players responded. They did what they needed to do at the Kia Center. We got some good performances in front of our own fans, you know, especially game three, game four. And, you know, game six, this is going back to last Friday night. You and I stayed up till the early hours. And obviously Cleveland made that run just the beginning of the second half. And between you and I, we were like, is this it? We didn't know. And then obviously to respond like they did, gut it out and get a big win there. Obviously it wasn't meant to be game seven, although if we had a very good first half, just going back through it now, aren't we, mate? I can see you shaking your head, you know, an 18-point lead. You put us back in that position again. You'd expect us to see it out. In fairness, you know, kudos to Cleveland. They battled. Donovan Mitchell, you know, an absolute scorer. And he was the difference at the end of the day. You know, he willed on his teammates to carry them over the line. But it's a great, great learning experience for our players. We saw a lot of very good performances. You know, Paolo Banchero really, you know, cemented himself as a real star in the league. You know, was it 27 points averaged over the 7 games? We saw great performances in parts from various players. I know we're going to get onto that in a little bit. But all in all, as we said before we started, we were playing with house money, weren't we? So anything that we achieved and learnt following that, you know, regular season, we did okay in the playoffs. And it was good for the guys to have that experience. So how are you, mate?
I think we said it before, we've covered it on the pod, but expectations changed in line with the season. I know there was a real mixed reaction to a lot of things when the final ball had been shot and, you know, like Cleveland went through. But at the start of the season, if we go all the way back, if you'd given us a 500 record, which would have been enough for the play-in, I think we would have taken that. So we actually overachieved to get to where we got to. 47 wins was beyond what anybody, even the most optimistic Magic fan, I think, was probably predicting. As the season went and when we were holding around in the playoffs, I think that's when expectations changed. And it's good to have high expectations. And it's probably been a bit of an unusual season because that idea of optimism and if we hit a few games where we lose or we don't perform well, it was kind of accepted last season because of we were overachieving. And it's probably going to change from this moment out where there is expectation. There's expectation on us now, like there was expectation on the Cavs last season, where the expectation is now is that we are a playoff team, that we're not a play-in team, that we're going to win over, you know, we're going to hit 45 wins. And, you know, like if we're dangling around 500, it's no longer good enough, whereas it would have been good enough this year. And I think I wish I put money on 7-game series.
You said it.
Edging towards the Cavs with 3 points and experience being the two key things that worried me. And I think if we'd held that lead to halftime, I think if we could have gone in with an 18-point lead at halftime and just came out hard at the start of the third quarter, I think we'd have won.
Yeah.
Because the Cavs crowd had gone silent. You could hear the Magic chants within the arena.
They were turning, weren't they? The Cavs fans were turning.
That was what was coming through on the TV. In the arena, that's what it sounded like. And it's not a slighted Cavs fan. I think it was frustration. And it looked, I think we almost got almost the first half being the best of the Orlando Magic. And then I think probably with 3 or 4 minutes to go in the second quarter through the rest of the game, we got game 1 and 2 Cleveland.
Yeah.
Where we saw the best of them. And it was there and we just didn't quite have the personnel to see it out. And, you know, Banchero in the first half was unreal, but it came down to you just had to stop Paolo Banchero. And if you stopped Paolo, which we've seen this season, we've seen Paolo since his rookie year facing triple teams and double teams and stuff, because that's the area we lack. We don't have the people to make them pay as we would like, and that's what cost us the series in the end. But it was no disgrace. You know, we go into this off-season now where people are talking about the Magic. The Magic aren't the joke. From the first time, really, since Dwight Howard. I know we've been in the playoffs since, but since Dwight Howard's time, the Magic are being looked at as people are now seeing OKC and Orlando. That's becoming quite common on the media I've been following. So, am I disappointed? Yes. Did I think in the second quarter that we were going to make it into the second round? Yes. Did I fancy a series with Boston? Yeah, not that I think we'd have beat Boston, I don't think we would have, but I wouldn't have mind seeing what we could do. And just for the matchup of Paolo versus Tatum, I think it had enough to hold a neutral, but here we are, time to reflect on it and look ahead. You know, the picture's rosy and we're far enough removed now to be balanced about it, I think.
Yeah, you're not wrong there, mate. Disappointment, obviously, on Sunday night last week. Obviously, nice early tip-off. Thinking we were going to get to the second round, especially in that second quarter. But like you said, the run that Cleveland, I think it might have only been about 8 points, trimming an 18-point lead to 10 or 9 possibly at the half.
Yeah.
Makes a hell of a difference, you know.
The momentum went.
Yeah.
We went in where they had momentum, and like I even said at halftime, the momentum's gone, and we needed a big start of the third quarter, and of course it didn't happen, and we went from there. So the question is, gee, what have we learned about the Orlando Magic?
Well, we've mentioned Paolo is him. We knew it. A lot more of the media know it now. National critics, some of the fans who'd never sort of watched Orlando Magic know that now. But I think we've also worked out, you know, what we need going forward. We need a guard. Do we need a center? Probably. We kind of worked out some of maybe the dead wood. I'm sure we'll get onto that in a second. You know, looking at the numbers produced during that first round playoff series. Experience, I've mentioned that before, but especially for Coach Mosley. And I think as well for the organization as a whole, you know, this year saw a lot of firsts, you know, obviously retiring the jerseys, getting back to the postseason, the expectation. But the main thing is the players who we're going to roll with going forward. So I think you've got to almost go over your untouchables, haven't you, Gar? So,
yeah.
Paolo, obviously. France, definitely. Jalen Suggs, another. And then it starts getting a little bit, you know, opinions come into play. Jonathan Isaac, we've seen what he can do. I do think he was battling some sort of injury towards the end of that playoff series. He was trying his best, but he wasn't having the same impact that we'd seen, you know, in games like at the end of the season against Milwaukee. But it's just a matter of going through. So for me, the safe ones obviously are J.I., Paolo, Franz, Jalen Suggs, and probably a wild card to that is probably Mo Wagner, who's had a superb season, although he was a bit quiet towards the end of that series. Anyone else you'd chuck on that, mate?
I think that's your definites, where that's the building blocks, where you can't see the Magic getting rid of those players. I agree with you on J.I. I've been saying it in Game 7. I was like, there's something wrong here. Not because I think he's badly injured, but if you look at his performance earlier in the series and then some of the things that got by him later in the series, he just seemed to be a little bit, like he didn't quite have that pace, that explosion, that ability to go, you know, like sometimes you see him do almost like a double jump where he reacts so quick. He just didn't seem to quite have that. Again, we don't know what's happened there. I don't think it's anything serious, but that's your guys you're building around. It was important that we didn't get swept.
Yeah.
And at 2-0, what the last thing, if that had been a sweep, or it had been, you know, 4-1, for example, I think there'd have been a lot of people who would have just dismissed the Magic.
Yeah.
And when they aren't good enough. Whereas I think people have sat up and took notice. Obviously, Paolo, there was a tweet put out there by a journalist that said it's time we had a conversation about Paolo Banchero. And it got a lot of slander. But I think it is probably time we had a conversation about Paolo Banchero, but not the conversation he wants to have. The conversation with Paolo Banchero is he's doing things in year two that if Jason Tatum is doing them in year two, Jason Tatum is being talked about as the face of the NBA. And thankfully, there are other people now saying this league could end up being Paolo Banchero and Anthony Edwards. Like that's been floating around, and maybe it is. Who knows? But Paolo's name, he looks, it's his to lose. It's in his hands, and we'll see where he goes from there. Franz, I felt sorry for. I don't think Franz has had a great season, despite what some of the numbers would say. So if you saw people who were speaking about the Magic who didn't watch the Magic much, they were saying he was like, almost like, oh, it's borderline all-star, Franz Wagner. And we were kind of, I'm like, well, I think he actually had a better claim the season before, if the truth's known. He was apparently the worst jump shooter in the NBA. And Franz, I think, cares. And there was mention in the game about how he gets in his own head. But he's got to go away now and he's got to look at that jump shot. You know, we were all talking, like, I know it was next on the agenda, but it's his 6-6-6 performance in game seven. Mm. But let's be honest here, if Franz Wagner wasn't Franz Wagner, and that is still a very good player, there is no game seven. There's probably no magic in the playoffs. So I think people need to step back a little bit here if they're getting on Wagner and realise, actually, he's a third-year player. A lot of very good players have had baptisms of fire in the playoffs. And it's not like he went missing for the entire thing. He had a very bad game seven. But I think Franz is somebody who it would be, I'd be incredibly surprised. I think it would have to be something like Luka Doncic or something on the table to see him being talked about. The Magic, I think, see him and Paolo as going forward with Jalen Suggs. And if you compare the numbers with Suggs and Drew Holiday, right now, Jalen Suggs is having a bigger impact on the Magic than Drew Holiday is having on the Boston Celtics. And Jalen Suggs deserves every vote he gets if he goes on an All-NBA defense team this season. You can't help if you're a Magic fan. Love him. And we know the Celtics fans miss Marcus Smart. And you get it. I can understand that because Suggs is the heart of the team. He's got that about him where he's took the heart of the team. GI is GI. And I think Mo Wagner has, for his contract and for what he does, he's a top-end sixth man based on this season. Players who might not be around. I hate to say it because I like him, but I think Tuma might be done. Unfortunately, but I think it's an injury thing that I don't think it's a talent or an effort thing. I think we've probably seen the end of Gary Harris. I feel as I've been saying that for a long time on this podcast, but I think we've seen the end of Gary Harris.
Yeah, I mean, his numbers in the postseason were the best. He played a bit of good defense. He missed, obviously, was it game six with that injury? But 26 minutes and he scored, where's the points per game? 4.2 points over the course of the playoff series, which
you can't have that from a starter.
No.
And that's a problem because we need to upgrade that position one way or another. And I know we'll come on to this in a moment, but the Magic, it's obvious what we need. We need a scorer. We need someone who's a three-point shooter. We need someone who has to be who camps out on that line. And if you do, what happened in game seven makes you pay. And
yeah,
you would hope that Gary Harris would do that, but unfortunately he didn't. And I wouldn't be surprised if Gary Harris ended up back in Denver.
No, could happen.
You know, but I think that's, we've learned about the strengths of the Magic. We've also learned, by the way, this season that we have a hell of a coach.
We've
got a great mentality. And whatever the noises that come out right now, they're not coming from us. So there's people like Clay Thompson being like, you know, there's all these leaks. It's because we're relevant again. That's why we're hearing our name being linked, because we are relevant, we're young, we're exciting, we've got cap space. And agents are dropping our names. I would put money on that. That's not coming out of the Magic front office. So, yeah, I think that's, for me, what we've learned. Like, what was your take on the Franz criticism? Because he got a bit of flack after game seven, didn't he?
He did, but like you just said, mate, you know, Franz Wagner not on the team. We don't get to fifth in the East. We possibly don't even, you know, get into the play-in potentially. But you got to remember, he had two superb games. Game six and game four? I'm just trying to see if I can pull up the numbers. 34 points on 13 for 17 shooting in game four, and then 26 in that game six, which was basically like a game seven for us in our own building. So, you know, win or go home. So you get the pressure situation there. But for the season, a series, 19 points a game, 41% from the field. It's not too bad when you consider that last 1-for-15. You take that 1-for-15 out of it, and that jumps up considerably. Obviously, we'd like to see him shoot the ball better from three, but without Franz, we're not the team than we were this year. But I think a lot of it comes back to, you know, I think ideally for me, there would be no Olympics this summer.
Yeah.
And he could rest because we had the FIBA World Cup last season. So he's had a full NBA season. He's played the FIBA World Cup for Germany. They've gone all the way. They've won the gold medal and, you know, that's absolutely superb. And then he's obviously had this season this year, which he's a warrior. You know, he plays late 70s, early 80s in terms of games played. He doesn't miss games like a lot of other players. So I would just like to see him get a bit of rest, mate. I think that shot, it's not broken. He just needs, just give him five, you know? Take five. Have an off season and then come back, you know, and we know what he's capable of.
His jump shots really look flat all season.
Is that tiredness?
I don't know what it is, but it's been flat
before though, was it?
Oh, he was a pretty decent, like, I think he was around about 35-36% from three, which is about average really. And even at average, teams have to pay attention, and I think because he wasn't, and because it was clear that the shot wasn't going to fall, he was reliant on driving in the lane, which is exactly what Cleveland needed in Game 7, because it was like, close the paint up, because we aren't, like, we get annoyed on our group chat when we start jacking threes.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the players to hit it.
Hmm.
You know, that's ultimately, but then at the same point in time, if you're Cleveland and you've got Orlando down to shooting threes, you're going to take that.
Yeah.
You're going to take that. And I just think it was unfortunate, you know. Maybe if we'd won that game against Charlotte, we'd go through.
Home court then, yeah.
You know, which is a bit costly, but there's a lot of things. But I think the light's been shone. We've had this season. We didn't make any moves in the air. Like, it was to see what we had, and I think we've seen what we've had. There's no way Jeff Weltman was going to come out and go, oh, what we need a 3-point shooter who can play in the guard's position, give us around about 40% in a veteran presence, because all of a sudden the agents are going to go, yep, the price has just gone up because you want it. So yeah. I think he played in, as we would expect, incredibly smart, where he went, oh, since January, we've been about 12th to 14th in 3-point shooting. So it's not desperate. So that's the line you give an agent when they come into the office. You know, like, you need this. He's like, well, no, we don't really. And we do, but at the end of the day, I'm sure Jeff Weltman's going to turn around and say, well, we've got Jet Howard and Anthony Black ready to next season, which he'd be right. So it's a big off season. Gee, I'm going to give you the floor here. What do we do?
Oh, gosh. It's the age-old question, isn't it? Do you run it back? And, you know, that's not the answer people want, is it? People want a star name. I think you've got a lot of players to address, you know, of the free agents. Who do you bring back? I'm going to have to throw it out there. You know, Markel Fultz is one of them. You've got Gary Harris, Chuma Okeke, as you've mentioned, Gar. Joe Ingles, I think that's a team option, I want to say, for his 11 yeah. million or so. Goga Bitadze. So you need to work out first and foremost who you want to bring back. You know?
Yeah.
You know who I want to bring back. But I know that the need of the team is that shooting is a need. My hope, and I'll throw it out there, I've been watching the Pacer-Knicks series quite closely. Mm-hmm. And TJ McConnell, right? I'm not a big fan of TJ McConnell. He annoys the hell out of me. He's just one of those guys that say much, drives the paint, gets his layups, you know, always in the grill of, you know, our players, etc. Just goes about his business, and he's quite successful at it. I love Markel Fultz. You know, he's had injuries, etc. And I think he's capable of being the player that we've seen in, you know, last season and whatnot. But bring him back, and at worst, he can be our TJ McConnell. He can dictate tempo like McConnell can. You know, the hope is the shot comes back. He wasn't, you know, he was capable in the playoff series. He didn't disappoint in any game. He got his. He, you know, broke a couple of runs made by the Cavaliers. I thought he played pretty well myself in limited minutes. I don't know if you agree with that.
I thought he did well with the minutes he had. I don't think his role's a starter.
Oh, no, no, this is what I mean now.
I'm saying that, but I just didn't, because I know the start of when we were looking into this season, it was Fultz and Suggs as the probable starting backcourt.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't think that's there because I think as the team's currently set up, Fultz probably for me is better on the floor when Paolo isn't, which is something I've been. I think you need somebody on the floor at all times who you can go to. And for different reasons, like I think Paolo's handle's a bit loose still. He can run into trouble a little bit. The ball pressure that comes with the playoffs, turnovers were a letdown for Paolo, but you can put the ball in Paolo's hands. And I think Markel being on the floor, and we saw it at one point where he was kind of in the wrong position for Paolo, where it was like, because he couldn't go to where it, no one's going to guard him out at the 3-point line, really. Mm. So I think he could be in a second unit and do the ball handling then and keep the cool head. I think there's a space for him there. I think what you've got to look at, and it's a similar thing with Cole Anthony, really, is what the nature of these injuries are that they've had. Cole's looks as though it's mental. It looks as though there's something off the court happened with the way the players have rallied around him and just the way Cole's been. Cole hasn't, if you went back a year ago and the Magic are winning on the home court and leaving the series at 2-2, Cole's going nuts.
Yeah.
And it's not there. It's not there. It's like you can see the way the players have gone to Cole where there's a problem. Like they know that there's something not going right for Cole off the court, and it's translating onto the court. You can see it. And all you can see is when it's something like that, and you can see the difference in Cole. The way he's in the game, the way he carries himself is just that he can get himself mentally back to where he needs to be, and whatever it is sorts itself out. And then by all accounts, Markel's been playing with some type of knee fracture, which is then going to, like we've seen it, like Fultz, even when he's had the shoulder injury, has been an explosive above the rim dunker and a guy who can chase down and block shots and stuff like that and play above the rim. He hasn't really been able to do that, you know, like in this series and this season, really. So that injury in the knee needs to heal because I still think there was a shoulder injury just by the pure looking at where he's had cupping and everything done on his shoulders before games with the bruising that comes with that. But that knee would also manifest itself in a jump shot with how he's going to push through. So I think that's possibly another reason why the jumper has got worse. And then the hitch has been re-emphasized. So we really, on those two players, need to look at what's going on injury-wise before we make any decision. I do think Markel's contract won't be as good as what he's got now if he does come back.
Yeah.
But it's not, there's not a space for him. I'm interested in what they do with Goga because I think he potentially can get himself a better role elsewhere.
Yeah.
I think he's done well for us. I noticed there's a groundswell in some sections of the fan base saying if he goes, get Dwight Howard back. People can have that opinion if they want. I've got my opinion on that. But I think Goga might be somebody who gets himself a better deal somewhere else. He's never let us down. I would hate to see it because I think he's a good player, actually, but in the right role. But maybe that's somebody in the draft.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name, by the way, but there was a center who would be available around where we pick. And I looked and I was kind of doing a little bit of digging and I was like, yeah, maybe. I think it could be a veteran, but it's also a possibility. I was like, that's a big body and the game looks as though it would fit what we needed. But I'll see if I can remember the name or I'll get it the year after that.
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about the draft there, and I'm sure we'll, you know, come next couple of weeks now as we build up to the draft, go through somebody, you know, players in and around where we might pick. But it is vital to remember that rookies carry the rookie scale salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you want to compete, you bring a rookie in who can do something, you know, you're on, you know, they're going to be on decent money, but they're on that rookie scale money as opposed to bringing in a free agent for, you know, a lot more than what you get a rookie for. So drafting well is key to, you know, keeping the foundations there for the ball club. So I know we'll probably get onto it and people say, oh, we don't need any more rookies, but hold that thought because, you know, they can be vital for us. So Gary Harris was the other one we mentioned, mate.
Mm-hmm.
So you think he could possibly go to Denver. Obviously, we didn't get the best of him and he was quite injury prone. Not someone you'd bring back?
Nope. I think he's... Thanks very much, Gary. And I'm, again, I don't hate Gary Harris. I think we've seen times where I'll watch his game and, like, you know, the Milwaukee game, for example, and there's times where you get a Gary Harris clinic. Yeah. If Gary Harris is hitting the three-point shot and he's given us 12 points a game on a good clip, Gary Harris is actually what this team would probably need, but yeah, he isn't. And again, like, if you look at Gary Harris in his prime in Denver, Gary Harris can get to the rim. Gary Harris couldn't do that in the Cleveland series. He tried to, but he can't. And I think on a contender and on a good playoff team, you've got to have better than Gary Harris there. So again, I just don't think he'll be back. I've just got this feeling he's maybe the end of Gary Harris. The Magic play their cards close to their chest, but I think it could be the end for Gary Harris.
Yeah.
So if I was to say, gee, there's been like a lot of names linked with the Magic, a lot of names. By the way, that centre who was called Kal-El Ware.
Okay. What school was he?
Indiana.
Okay.
He's a sophomore. He's 7 feet. He's 223 right now. He's got drafted. They've got him going between around about 18, 19, 20 in the draft. He actually shoots. Let me have a look. The same way, I'm just trying to find it. His 3-point percentage per 36 minutes is 43%.
Not bad. Not bad.
And he was putting up his per 36 minute stats. Obviously, I'll give you his season stats here. He's basically putting up 16 points a game, close to 2 blocks, and close to 10 rebounds.
It's not bad. It reminds you of Mo Bamba a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And you look at it, he's defensive, he's a good rebounder. He's not a good offensive rebounder. There are holes in his game, but if you're picking around about 18,
yeah,
who knows what you're going to get? And look what Dallas got late in the lottery.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know,
yeah,
we can bang him down into the G League for a year if we need to develop him. But statistically, somebody who can seemingly run the floor on the clips I've seen, but 7 feet seems as though he got it, can block to an extent, can defensively rebound and can shoot the three. A legit 7 foot might not be the worst pick in the world. And out at Indiana as well, it's not the worst program to come out of.
No.
So if I was going to throw some names at you, the first name linked with the Magic, and I'll have an opinion on this, is Klay Thompson.
Okay, so I haven't got his age in front of me. How old's Klay Thompson?
I want to say he's around about 34.
34.
33, 34. There's a guess. I'll get it up in the background as you're talking to.
I mean, the only issue here, right, is it's 34. Nice to have all these names linked. The problem is you don't want to overpay and have them on a contract when they're 36, 37, paying that amount of money. I'd rather pay them a lot for 1 year, perhaps, mm-hmm, and then still have that flexibility again next year. If it works out, great. Maybe they take a cheaper second year, third year, whatever, to hang around. Obviously, Klay Thompson fills a lot of the gaps that we have in terms of, keeping defenders honest. You can't leave Clay Thompson open, no matter who else is on the floor. You know, Paolo and Franz might have single coverage if you had three Clay Thompsons on with them in a game. So he does fit the need. He hasn't had the best season from what I remember last I checked on him on the Golden State stats. One of the guys who works as a Golden State fan, and he was a little bit down on Clay, but they want to bring him back. They're kind of living in the past, still want to keep Curry, Green and Thompson together. But I think it's time possibly that, you know, they blew it up or moved on or make some moves. So within reason, mate, I wouldn't be opposed to him coming on board, but I'd be insistent it'd be a short contract, no more than 2 years.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't want any more than 2 years. I think for everybody we're looking at, we've got to bear in mind that we've got to pay coming up Franz, Jalen, and Paolo. We've got to keep that in mind. Clay Thompson is not all-star Clay Thompson.
No.
So if we don't hand out a bumper package, and what Clay's final game for the Warriors might have been was almost the Audi performance. It was bad. It was bad. Clay Thompson isn't a second option. So if Clay Thompson comes to the Magic, he's probably the fourth option. And the deal has to reflect that. He isn't option two. He's not Robin.
No.
But what Clay Thompson brings is he can shoot. He really can shoot. He could give us 16 to 17 points per game. And he's been there and he's won it. So the word on Clay Thompson, whatever he's like as a character, which I'm sure people in the Magic front office will know, will carry value there as to, can this guy come in and actually be a locker room positive leader? And I think that plays into part of the deal for Clay Thompson. There's a name I'm going to throw at you now then, but intrigues me a lot more, but I think he's going to ask for a lot more, and that's Paul George.
Again, I think he's 34.
I want to say he's 33, yeah, 34, and yeah.
The only reason I say that is I saw somebody on Twitter say we don't want to give him 4 years because he'd be 38 by the end of it.
Yeah, 34.
Now, I think he's going to command close to the max. He didn't have the best playoff series against, who did they play? Dallas. It was Dallas, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Although they were missing Kawhi Leonard. So if he was 30, I'd be saying, yeah, that's fine. You know, you could throw max money at him. The fact that he's 34, soon to be 35, and on the downward trajectory, again, I wouldn't be opposed to having him. But again, I wouldn't go more than two seasons, just because you need that flexibility. And this is what we saw when the Magic in 2009, when we, you know, we brought Gilbert Arenas and that lot in. We had Chris Duhon, we had Quentin Richardson, we had a lot of big contracts there, and we couldn't shift off of them.
So don't talk about Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah, sorry, I shouldn't even mention his name. But you know, Otis Smith, you know, got us a decent team, but then it also capitulated very quickly because we started overpaying, you know, like Chris Duhon's the real, you know, one that sticks out.
Gilbert Arenas was the one for me.
Well, I don't know why you trade Rashad Lewis. Rashad Lewis was, you know, key, wasn't he? But Chris Duhon came in to be the point guard. He took number 25, which, first of all, is a travesty. Absolute travesty, mate. So anyway, going back to Paul George, I would like him, but again, I'd throw the bag at him for a very short period in order to get him across. But the, you know, the scenario in Orlando does sort of get us and him sort of together quite nicely.
He fits.
Yeah.
He fits the Magic.
That's the word I was looking for.
Well, Mango Spears, Geo Ketchup. He fits everything we want, bar one thing, and it's age.
Yeah.
If he's 29, 30 years old, Paul George, you're kind of like, there's a 4-year contract. And it's great because he is the second option. We have good enough players that every now and then we could leave him out. He could some nights be the third option, but crucially, he can play the two guard spot. He's 6'8", and he's hitting over 41% from three. Like, you add Paul George to the Magic, and I know he didn't play well against Dallas, but we've just dumped Cleveland.
Yeah.
We've dumped Cleveland. We probably haven't even played Cleveland because we're probably the second or third seed, actually. You know, like, that's how good the Magic would be. He would push the Magic as an above 50-win team if he was fit. But he's going to want, I think, a 4-year contract. And by all accounts, he's quite settled in California. And I wouldn't be surprised when you see the Magic's name being linked with the likes of Clay and Paul George, if the agents are basically saying they can go to Orlando, they can have state free tax, they can go to a young up-and-coming team and they've got the money to pay them. What are you going to do about it? And I think it's a scare tactic because the Clippers are in that same territory now of what do you do?
Yeah.
What
and
do
they're
going to
have a brand new arena next year, and they're not going to want a half, half a team as they go to that arena. They're going to want all their stars back, even if they have to overpay.
And right now, he's their best player because Kawhi is—it's worrying. It's worrying what injuries have seemingly done to Kawhi. Like Kawhi, when he's at the top of his games, a top 10 player in the league for me, but he isn't. He's been ravaged, and Paul George is kind of like the man, but I wouldn't want to be handing out a 4-year contract because I don't want that scenario of where we're carrying someone on a max contract who's giving us 12 points per game. I want that. So if we go to the other end of the scale then, and we look at a young, no pun intended, a young 3-point shooter, we have Trae Young. Some Magic fans really, really, really want Trae Young in Orlando. Some Magic fans really don't want Trae Young in Orlando. Trae Young, it's going to be a trade, isn't it?
I was looking at the numbers, mate. It's unbelievable. He's going to be on 43 million, 45, close to 46 million the season after. And then there's a player option in 26, 27. Which is close to 49 million. If we're going to get anything close to be able to match that salary, A, it's not going to be done in the summer. No way. Because you can't just... I don't think you can do a sign and trade in the summer, can you? To match salaries. It'd have to be something after, you know, the allotted time that you...
Yeah.
If anyone's played NBA 2K, you'll know that you can't just sign a player and trade him straight away. You've got to wait until like December the 15th for some random time. I can't see it happening. He'd fit the bill in terms of the shooting. His defense is a little bit suspect. But he's under contract. So if he's under contract, unless he starts making noise that he wants out and he starts stating where he wants to play, but it's unlikely Atlanta trade him to another Southeast Division rival. I can't see it happening.
I'll be honest, with Trae Young, on paper it looks great. On paper. However, first of all, I worry about the contract size, and I know there's not a perfect answer out there because the perfect answer is Paul George in a time machine. That's the perfect answer, really. But Trae Young, he didn't make the All-Star team until injuries and stuff came in, and then he was kind of brought in. I don't think that the coaches in this league rate Trae Young as highly as people think.
No,
I just don't.
Especially this last year or two, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's a good player, but let's be honest. When you look at what's happening now in the league, like how does he compare to your Tyrese Halliburton? How does he compare to a Jalen Brunson? He's below them. You know, LaMelo Ball's going to come back fit. Is he better than LaMelo Ball? You know, there's a lot of good guards in the NBA now. You know, is he right now better than Steph Curry? You know, like what is the
flip of a coin?
What's the market for Trae Young? I just don't think on a defensive first team that the Magic are going to look at Trae Young.
No,
because I think
fit the character build of the front office, is it?
If you were the Atlanta Hawks, let's flip this instead of being a Magic one. Why would the Atlanta Hawks just give away Trae Young? He's their best player. He's their franchise. So if we face off,
you know, he gets in the All-Star game.
Yeah. So if we turn up and go, oh, here's a package, and it's like Wendell Carter and at the front of the package, which our fan base are going to want, because we aren't going to want to give up one of our three top guys. Is that the best that Atlanta's going to get? I don't think so. I think there's probably better out there for them than the package we would be probably willing to go with. Because I think they're going to turn around and say they want Jalen Suggs and Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah.
And I don't think our fan base is signing that off.
No, I don't think we are either. I'd put Trae Young to the side.
I can't say
at least until trade deadline, and you know when you start trying to match salaries and whatnot up, and you don't know if he's disgruntled, then things may change. But 40, you know, you don't see superstars traded often, and there's a reason for that, and that's because you can't make up the salary.
Yeah, absolutely. So if he's not going to go, they reckon the price is a bit lower for DeJounte Murray.
Well, I was just, that's what I was trying to do there. I was trying to pull up his numbers. And again, he's somebody else that's contracted through. So next season, he's going to be on 25 and a half mil, 27 and a half the following year, 29 and a half. And then he has a player option in 27, 28. So again, you're going to have to give something to get something. It's not like, you know, your free agent class, is it? This is why you look at all these teams, right, that have traded for players. You look at the Phoenix Suns. You look at the Brooklyn Nets previously. They haven't been successful, let's just say it. They haven't organically grown. You know, you look at the teams at the top. You look at the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've done it properly. Yeah, the Boston Celtics, which is, I hate them. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Richard. They've drafted well. Just stick with a plan. I know that's not what people want to hear, but, you know, you bring in a couple of people. But if you start trading the farm for a player, that's when the whole thing falls flat on its face.
I think the DeJounte Murray one's got more believability because of what Atlanta was apparently willing to listen to. The big thing with DeJounte Murray is going to be, like, I think he's suffered playing alongside Trae Young and being out of Popovich's system. And like, it's not that he's playing, Snyder's not a bad coach at all, but Murray was seen as a high-end defender when he was at the Spurs. And he's not thought of that way, which I think is partly what he's been playing with in Atlanta. And he can, I think people, he can score, he can be clutch, he's got the size, he can give you 20 points a game, he has been a borderline all-star. His relationship with Paolo, I don't think is as bad as people make it out to be.
No, yeah.
That type of thing. But again, you'd have to give Atlanta something. And I don't know whether, like, as you say, whether the Magic are willing to do that. I think there's actually more of a upside and a chance of Murray than Young. But I do not see our front office watching what happened when Paolo came into the league and he was bouncing the ball off plumbers' heads and stuff in pick-up basketball games. I don't see our front office like that.
No.
At all. So DeJounte Murray would have to come in with a hell of a pitch. So obviously we're looking at trades a little bit. I'll throw three of the names. One of them's just because it's been doing the rounds on social media. Like, I can't see it, but we've got Anthony Simons. His name's been thrown around, which I know that I think is a player who you like. Tyus Jones's name's been thrown around, which apparently he's available cheap. That was the rumor on Deadline. And then Hartenstein's name just seems to be a darling of certain elements of Magic Twitter. So that any of those names where you can see it.
Well, we've discussed Anthony Simons before when it came to the trade deadline, didn't we? I can't see why Portland would just give up on him or just move him along. He's on a contract which is in and around the $25 million. I want to say he's got a year or two at least remaining on that. So again, you're going to have to match $25 million. But the issue we thought there'd be is you'd have to take a poison pill just to get him in DeAndre Ayton. And that's not any, you know, something that any of us would sign off on. So unless for some reason they want to get rid of him or they fancy just having a change, you know, would you consider, I don't know, Anthony Black and another for Simons with a pick or so? I probably would, if I'm honest.
I think it's something that would be discussed. But I think you would look at that if you were the, from a Timberwolves perspective and go, are they really giving Blazers. Up that quick? Sorry, I've got T-Wolves on the brain after what I've been watching. Unbelievable, by the way. Blazers, I was watching and listening to JJ Redick's pod where he's been talking about the Wolves and stuff. So I've got that on the brain. Yeah, the Blazers, when they look at what they drafted with Scoot Henderson, Why would they do it?
Yeah.
Why would they do it? I don't see it happening.
No.
At all. Like, it would be, I'd put it this way. It's a, you, if you, that deal happened and you're Scoot Henderson, you should worry. Because Anthony Black, in the minutes he's had for Orlando and the way his game stepped up, he's got value on the Magic. He had a better rookie season than I expected.
He did. You know, 6'6" guard who can defend like he can, and you know, he's shown he's a capable shooter, just needs to get, you know, back in the gym and work on his, you know, dribbling, getting to the rim, and you know, he's a very good player. So then the other two names you mentioned, mate, Tyus Jones, obviously best assist to turnover ratio in the league probably in the last 5-6 years, somebody who can look after the ball, dish and get some dimes, shoot the ball pretty well. Be handy for me. I'll be able to get a jersey with Jones on it. and if he's available cheap, especially as a free agent, you're not giving anything out of, you know, it's certainly something you got to look into. And then Isaiah Hartenstein, I've been watching the Knicks. He's been phenomenal. Everything, you know, that they wanted, along with, you know, Josh Hart and Brunson, they've been absolutely superb. Really sort of fitted into that Nick role and a real nice complement to, you know, to what they're doing. So I can see the Magic making smaller moves, getting two players like your Tyus Jones and Hartenstein, getting them on mid-level contracts, as opposed to taking a big swing and getting a Paul George or a, you know, a Klay Thompson myself, just because I think they're looking ahead and they don't want to impact future flexibility now that we've got out of, you know, all those bad contracts. You're thinking about Bismack Biyombo and the like, you know, who else was it? Timothy Mozgov, who we had to stretch and we were still paying him until a couple of years ago. So for me, it'll be smaller free agent signings. How about you, mate?
I think, I don't think we've got a chance in hell of getting Hartenstein.
No, I think he's going to stay in New York.
And he should stay in New York, by the way, for what he's done there. And
yeah,
what that'll do for his career and where the Knicks are at. The Knicks are a bona fide top four seed in the Eastern Conference going forward, barring some type of injury, and they're doing all this without Julius Randle. So he should stay in New York. Good luck to him. Simons, I don't know. I can't see, again, the move happening unless the poison pill was taken. So I kind of really see it. I just can't see it. So for me, I think the most likely options are one of the two things. If Tyus Jones is available at as cheap as the rumors were at trade deadline, I think that's something we possibly revisit for the simple one of ball handling. That's how turnovers aren't great. But the fact he can shoot the three, he's an over 40% 3-point shooter. If you leave him out there, he can light you up. So I think Tyus Jones seems to fit us and wouldn't cost the farm. It might be that our draft pick would be something that would be involved in that, or a future one, which we can give. The other one is that for 2 years we give a deal out, which might mean Joe Ingles doesn't come back, but we give a deal out which is like a massive deal, a bit like Joe Ingles got over 2 years, like which people would go as an overpay to bring in somebody for 2 years.
Yeah, that's certainly another option.
And if we were going to do that for 2 years, and they said, I don't think it'll happen because he'll not take 2 years. I think he'll want four, but 2 years it would be thrown at Paul George. Because I think it would cost a lot. But I think what Paul George could bring to the Magic in 2 years, he makes us a contender overnight. He changes the whole shape of the team because you've added an all-star. You've added a legitimate all-star who gives us everything we need by age. But his age is something we've got to factor in. So if it was on a real short-term stupid deal, for what that could do, really what it could do for Paolo and Franz. Because
A bit more of space.
Well, if Paul George is on the floor, people going and doing what they were doing, where there's three guys and one ready to help on Paolo's over. Because if you do that on Paul George can go for 40. You know, like that's where that's at. And people can't do that. So that everything opens up. The floor opens up. You've got a veteran. You've got a star. You've got somebody who's respected. You've got a jersey seller. Yeah, you know, like
You do.
you've got a second all-star. Teams who tend to have two all-stars most of the time tend to be winning teams. So there's a lot of good there, but I don't know. I would be so surprised if the number 13 jersey was being held up with George on the back and Paul George was stood in Orlando. I think his agent's playing games at the minute. I think Tyus Jones is probably a more realistic, achievable person. I would not be surprised if we went for a big in the draft. And I also wouldn't be surprised if we see bigger minutes for Anthony Black and Jet Howard.
Makes sense. It does make sense. I mean, yeah, we've got a long time now until the draft itself. We've obviously got the draft lottery coming up this weekend, so we know where everyone's going to be picking. And obviously free agency to look forward to.
And we will look forward to it because there's reasons for people. Let's be honest. If the Magic are going to put the money down, there are reasons for people wanting that phone to ring 1 minute in a free agency saying, hi, it's the Orlando Magic. If you are a free agent now, because in previous years it's been a bit of a stretch. If you're a free agent now, it's a bit. I think we're in that position of the Rashard Lewis, Horace Grant, where that one player who can put us over the top wants that phone to ring and say, hi, it's Orlando. So would Paul George listen to the Magic? Yes, I think he probably would, but I don't think the Magic are giving Paul George a 4-year contract.
No.
As we're all sitting here in November with Paul George jerseys on.
We'll have to come back to this part, mate.
Yeah, the new City edition with George on the back for you there. I'm gonna call it now, by the way. We've got a white City edition jersey with the blue font. Like the new colour will be the blue of what the old jersey is in the font, and it might. I wouldn't be surprised even if it said Magic.
Yeah, we don't know this for This is just you speculating.
By the way, I know nothing about that.
Yeah.
I'm going to call this now. So if that happens, yeah. I'm going to promise you now I have no inside information. I really don't, by the way, on that. I think it's pretty obvious that we'll play the colour scheme out with a white-blue flip.
Yeah, so that'd be nice.
If you're listening and saying the Let's Talk Magic pod revealed the City jersey, we really didn't. We really, really didn't. But if you want to send us money if we're right, you can join our Patreon, which brings us nicely to that. So thank you for everyone who's listened or watched this week. We do want to say thank you to our patrons, which are Barry Conn, Paolo and Franz Warm, Ollie Law, Gary Clark, Angus Craig, Dylan Holden, Alan Kane, Tom Soane, Mark Joss, Sean Moore, Liam Radbourne, Andy Lindy, Stuart Benzies, Drummy Drum, and Podfather Phil loves Hazy Northwestern, which I think is one of your favourites, G.
It is, that's brilliant.
Yeah, you're smashing that at barbecues, aren't you? So yeah. if you want to join, we've got three tiers available with varying benefits. Do visit patreon.com/letstalkmagic to join today. If you enjoyed the episode, please give it a thumbs up, leave us your thoughts and questions, and don't forget to subscribe. We reckon about 30% of our listeners subscribe, so if you could take some time to subscribe to the channel, that would help us out a lot, and you can find us on all the social platforms. So for Pride of the Valleys, for myself, and for Mr. Bacon and Mr. Clark, who aren't with us, go Magic.